Okay, so I'm just going to read this morning just a couple of verses in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." And I just want to focus on that this morning, particularly the bit there, particularly verse 20, but particularly where it says our citizenship is in heaven. And so this morning, as we think about that verse, those verses, it really talks about who we really are. And it talks about what's really important. It talks about where we really belong. And what's really important in that is that how that affects our lives. If we can understand who we are, where we belong, who we belong to, then that will impact every area of our lives. And in reminding us that we are citizens of heaven, it also, very interestingly, the Bible says, connects that with the return of Jesus. We look forward to Jesus' return when we will get to be with him, to enjoy the fullness of his calling, to enjoy the fullness of our salvation. It's a reminder of who we are, a reminder of our future. It's a reminder of what is ahead. And in that sense, it's an encouragement. And really the sense of this verse is an encouragement to hang in, an encouragement to persevere. It's an encouragement to our faith, encouragement to living the new life that God has for us. And so this morning, I just want to look at how that affects us now. It affects, because if we can understand that, if we can understand God's call for us, God's the way God sees us, our place in him, then it will affect, you know, our lifestyle, it will affect our thinking, it will affect our attitudes. Now, the word citizenship there is very interesting. There's quite a few things that come to mind, but the word that's used for citizenship, or that's translated by the word citizenship in some translations at least, refers to the condition or life of a citizen. So it is a reminder of our identity, and I want to spend some time on that this morning. But it's particularly a reminder of what's required of how that translates into our life, into our living. And so when the Bible says there that our citizenship is in heaven, then really our way of living, our mode of living, our behavior, our lifestyle is in heaven. And I don't mean that it's, you know, way off in the ether somewhere, way, you know, somewhere in La La Land with the angels, you know, so heavenly minded, he's no earthly use. But it's the fact, because we belong to God, because we have been called by him, then that affects our whole way of living. And there's two ways of looking at that. We can look at the things that God requires of us, the things that should be happening in our lives, and we can sometimes feel condemned about that. We feel under pressure to live up to it. But the intent of the verse and where it's placed here in this passage, in this chapter, is that it's an encouragement, a reminder of what God has done for us, an encouragement to live that life, because that's the best that he has for us. Now, it's interesting, the old King James Version uses the word conversation. Our conversation is in heaven. But there's an obsolete meaning of the word conversation, which means a manner of living, of behavior. And that really what it is, our citizenship, so our identity is in heaven, but our manner of living and our behavior is in heaven. In other words, it comes from God. It's affected by God. It's impacted by God and by the life he's given us. And by, you know, the new name, the new identity he's given us. So knowing we are citizens of heaven affects our actions and our thinking. For our citizenship is in heaven refers to our thinking and actions. we reflect our citizenship through these. Now, in this chapter earlier on, and I didn't take time to read through the whole chapter. There's too many things to get sidetracked on if I do that. But we see that, Paul's heart, Paul's intent, is he's striving. He wants to give everything he can to receive fully, to receive everything that God has for him, everything that Jesus has for him. So I'm going to lay aside everything. I just want to, with all I have, lay hold of what Jesus has for me. I want to reflect this in my life. And if we can just keep in mind that Philippians chapter 3, I just want to read also from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 to 11. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And there's a reminder there in those verses about who we are, about being chosen to God. We belong to God. And that actually that our time here on earth is only for a short time. You know, God has something better for us, but he also has something good for us now. And we will experience his best as we can trust our lives to him in every way now, looking forward, remembering what he has for us. And that's I want to talk a bit more about that later on too. So we're not bound to sin. We have a calling on our life. You know, we're here for a limited time only. And there's a wonderful old gospel song, which you don't have to leave. I'm not going to sing it. "This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." And I won't go on because then it sort of goes into about really wanting to be there now. But just so that thought, this world is not my home and where my treasures are. And really that's the key things I see here in this verse in Philippians, where we talk about our citizenship is in heaven. You know, there's something more for us than just what we see around us. And the encouragement is that we would lay hold of that. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. And I just see four things really that talk of, that our citizenship in heaven speaks of. The first thing our citizenship in heaven speaks of is our identity. So we just read in 1 Peter chapter 2, you know, we're chosen of God. We're a holy nation. We're set apart by God. We're set apart for God. You know, so if we can understand that our citizenship is in heaven, we understand that my identity comes from God. That I don't have to look at myself just based on how I measure up to those around me, how I measure up to the world's standards. I don't have to look at myself based on how people in the world would look at me, what they would call me. And, in boarding school you get called a few things, so believe me. But that's not my identity. My identity comes from God. And the things, you know, the Bible has quite a lot to say about our identity, about who we are, about how God sees us. And we need to understand that the things that God says about us, these are the way he sees us. You know we are loved, that we are accepted by God. There's the word that's used as justified, means we forgiven of our sins, we're declared righteous. We have the righteousness of God. We are holy and sanctified. In other words, we're set apart to God, for God. We belong to God. We are new creations. We're born again. There is no condemnation to us. And these are not just nice words, but these are things that God has said about us, and these are the ways that God sees us. This is our identity. And really, a key to understanding and to be able to live out the life that God has for us is knowing how God sees us. Because if we live our life just thinking, well, I've got to live up to something in God, I've got to live up to something to prove myself to God, to attain God's love, then we will spend our life always falling short. But if we can understand that God sees us now as accepted in Him, and that He has made us right with Him, and it's not because of anything we do, but it's because of Jesus, then that puts us in a position where we're able to live out what God has for us. And I make no apology if some people are there and thinking that, well, He always talks about identity. Because it's so important. It's so important that we understand the way God sees us, that God has accepted us now. You know, I'm not judged. I don't judge myself by how I measure up in the world. I need to change my thinking to understand the way that God sees me, and that's who I am. Which means that I have, you know, the right to come before God. It means I know that I can come to God and be accepted by Him. And that enables me then to do the rest of the things that God has for me. If we remember back towards the end of last year when the big news story, you couldn't turn on any news or look at any form of print without seeing about the dual citizenship amongst our parliamentarians. And actually there's still some there that it's an issue with, but I guess the media has got bored with that and moved on to something else. But I remember reading a comment there at that time that suggested that all those who are Christians are dual citizens. And I thought, well, you might be a dual citizen, but I'm not. My citizenship is in heaven. I might live on the earth, but that's not where I get my worth. That's not where I get my identity. And see, the old man, the person that was born into sin, the person that was born separated from God, is dead. So it doesn't matter what he was a citizen of. I'm a citizen of heaven. I belong to God. You know, I live in this world, but I belong to God. So we need to understand how God sees us. He has completed the work of our salvation. We can't earn it. And we need to realize that even when we come to faith in Jesus, we can still have this attitude where we try and earn something from Him. But we can't earn it. We already have His approval. We just have to learn to accept that and to live that, to let that affect our lives. You know, I am no longer a nobody. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Ephesians 2 verse 6, it says that God has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It talks about a position of authority, talks about a position of privilege. We belong to God. We're seated with Him. We're in that place of privilege with Him. You know, I am favored. I am His workmanship. We need to understand that. And there's a lot more, and it takes a lot more than just a part of one message to talk about our identity and who we are. I just wanted to just remind us of some of the things the Bible says about that. But so we'll just tell you a story also. So last week, Joshua, who spends most of his time in Wagga these days, came and visited. And he was here for exactly 3 hours, brought some stuff home for us to store, and helped clear out the fridge and the pantry while he was here. But he's telling me this story about, so one of the things they've got to do in the course he's doing, they had to do a compulsory a mental health topic. And there was, during the presentation, actually wanted to do an example, needed a volunteer. No one else volunteered, so Joshua, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. So the thing was, he had to have a conversation with a friend, someone he was friends with. But while he's having this conversation, the convener, the leader of the course, was saying things to him. And she told him beforehand what was going to happen. He said, oh, it's all right. It's just like the devil saying stuff. I'll just shut that out. And so Joshua gets there. He just shuts out all the things that are, negative things that are being said to him, and has a good old conversation during class time with a friend of his. Now, the point was that they were supposed to allow what was, you know, what was being said was supposed to, over the period of time, build up and cause frustration until they reacted. And I don't mean in any way to downgrade, to belittle the problems with mental health. But the thing that he said to me was so true. He said, yeah, this is just like the devil, I'll just shut him out. It's a great example of what's going, we go on in life. And the devil, our enemy, people, you know, whispering stuff to us. You're useless. You're worthless. You're no good. You can never please God. What would God ever want with you? And the thing is, if we accept these and if we listen to them long enough, we will start to believe them and we'll start to find our identity in that. But we need to shut that out. And the only way we can really do that is if we understand, we know who God has called us and what God says about us. And so we see our identity is impacted by our citizenship in heaven. Moving on from that, then, as citizens, you know, we have rights as citizens. Citizens of a country have rights that non-citizens don't have. You know, they can get assistance from the country, for example. There's a couple of great examples in the book of Acts where Paul has been arrested and they tie him up. They're ready to whip him. And Paul says to the captain, he says, is it lawful to scourge a man who is a citizen and uncondemned? Suddenly it changed everything. You know, because Paul was a Roman citizen. Not everybody who lived in the Roman Empire was a Roman citizen. We don't know exactly how Paul got his citizenship, except he was born to it, so we don't know how his father got it. But because he was a citizen, he had certain rights. And one of the things was that you couldn't whip a Roman citizen, especially not an uncondemned one. And then in Acts chapter 16, we read about in Philippi, where Paul and Silas are arrested, they're beaten, and they're thrown in jail overnight. You know, this is the one where they start singing hymns in the middle of the night and the jail doors burst open, the jail is saved. But the next morning, the leaders of the town of Philippi send the message, I'll tell those fellows they can go. And Paul says, I'm not going anywhere. They need to come and tell me themselves. Because the officials of Philippi actually broke the law in beating and imprisoning Paul and Silas. They were uncondemned because they were Romans. They had no right to do that. And when Paul sent the message saying, we're Romans and you've beaten us without trial and thrown us in jail, then the officials of that town were suddenly fearful. They had broken the law. They were worried. They were actually worried that they might upset Rome. And they would have the whole of Rome, the whole of the Roman Empire against them for what they had done. And when we're citizens of heaven, when we belong to God, it's the same thing. We have the whole of heaven with us. There's no condemnation for us as children of God, as citizens, because our punishment fell on Jesus. And so we have the right to assistance. We hear occasionally news stories of Australians being arrested overseas. And what's the next thing we see is that our consulate there, our embassy, offers them assistance. Now sometimes, in a less than compassionate state, I might hear a story and think, well, if they've done that, why are we bothering giving them assistance? But we give them assistance because they are Australian citizens and they're entitled to it. And so we are entitled to assistance. We have, you know, a right to expect assistance from God. And I say that, I don't mean that we can just, you know, some sort of arrogance about that. I mean, because we are citizens of heaven, God goes into bat on our behalf. He didn't just send Jesus to die on the cross and left it there. He continues to assist us in whatever we need, which really is about living, about outworking the Christian life. We have the resources of the kingdom on our side. And the thing is, we're not just citizens, but we're also ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, it says we're ambassadors. As ambassadors, we have the right to speak and act on behalf of the kingdom. And the thing is, if you attack an ambassador, you attack the whole country. So if the enemy would be against us, we shouldn't need be fearing that we have an enemy, that there's a devil who wants to bring us down, because we have the resources of the kingdom we belong to. We have God on our side. And this is the whole thing. It seems petty sometimes when you hear about countries expelling ambassadors. But really, they're making an attack on that other country. We belong to God. We have a right to speak for him. And we have his resources behind us to help us to do what it is he's called us to do. The third thing that our citizenship affects is our manner of living. Now, the word citizenship, as I mentioned, really is about our behaviour. And so we reflect who we belong to in our living. In Philippians 1, verse 27, Paul says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." In other words, behave as a citizen. Or in other words, let your conduct be characteristic of a citizen. Let your conduct, let the way where you live, let the way you think, reflect the fact that you belong to heaven, that you belong to Jesus. You don't belong to the world anymore. We're saved not to just sit in luxury. The idea of being seated in heavenly places, it sounds good, doesn't it? It just sounds like we can sit back, put our feet up, relax. But that's not what it's about. We're not saved just to sit in luxury, but we're also saved from all the things that rob us of God's best. We're saved from the bondage of sin. We're saved from being in bondage to sin. We're saved from those habits. We're saved from having to go down that path. And to fully enjoy the benefits of salvation, to fully enjoy the benefits of our citizenship, then that must work through every part of our being. As we're actually studying the book of Philippians in our home group at the moment. And this week we spent some time in chapter 2, verse 12. It talks about working out our salvation. Now that sounds like, well, we've got to work for it. No, it's working out. It's allowing what God has done in us to impact every part of our being. And that's what this whole idea of citizenship and this affecting our manner of living is. I belong to God. Jesus has changed me on the inside. I'm forgiven. I don't need to fear punishment for my sins. But this can also positively impact every part of my life. I don't need to go down the track of following all my bad habits anymore. I don't need to get sucked into those things anymore, because I belong to Jesus and he's delivered me from that. He's given me authority over that. And so we need to understand and focus on the things that are of real value, the things that are of eternal value, because that's what heaven is. It's eternal. It's not something that's just here for a short time. Now, I remember as a child, you know, we didn't have a lot of lollies and junk food and that sort of thing. I mean, we didn't need it. We had mum's cooking, and that was better than any junk food. And we had fresh fruit, you know, like fresh, not off from the supermarket, but off the tree. But I remember, because I didn't have a lot of experience with lollies and that sort of thing, that sometimes you see people eating these lollies or these ice creams or whatever, and you think, oh, man, that looks so good. But then later on, when I got to have one of them myself, you know, I might have bought it myself or whatever, I thought, it's pretty ordinary, really. It looked good, but the reality was it was far below, you know, my expectations. It was far below what I was used to. And that's the thing so often with sin, with temptation, with the desires of the world. They might look good, and it might seem like, yeah, there's lots of fun, there's lots of good feelings here. But the reality is it falls far short of what we have in God, what Jesus has to offer us. And that's one thing we need to understand. It's a bit like you're driving and you're starting to give it hunger and think, oh, I haven't had McDonald's or KFC or whatever for a long time. Yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind a Big Mac. And then you go to McDonald's and or the KFC or whatever, and you have your meal and you come away and you think, yeah, now I remember why I haven't been there for a long time. It looks good. Sometimes it even smells good. But it falls far short of the best. And that's what God has. So often what we see, it's meant to appeal to our eyes, to our desires, but it falls far short of the reality of what God has for us. You know, we may have used even ourselves, or certainly heard people talk to children and say, you know, why would you do that? You're better than that. You don't need to do that. See, when we are better than that. We're of a different kingdom. We're of a different spirit. We need to let it show in our living. One of the things that's been really interesting, following on from the Australians being caught ball tampering, is some of the commentary, some of the comments that have been made. And there's some who are saying that the cricketers have been harshly dealt with because everybody else is doing it. There are others saying, well, just because everyone else is doing it doesn't mean we have to. And that's what I say to the kids on the bus. Why are you squirting so-and-so with your water bottle? Oh, well, this other person was doing it. Well, if this other person opened the window and jumped out while I was driving down the highway, would you do it? You know, parents, you've probably used that same sort of thing. Everybody else is doing it. But we are actually called to be different to everybody else. We're called to shine as lights. We're meant to stand out. And the thing is, we've got the opportunity because it's not who we are. We're not going to find satisfaction there. We have a different mindset. We need to have a different mindset. You know, our key verses there in Philippians, the book of Philippians is so much about humility, about meekness, about serving other people. Different attitudes, different mindset, different actions. You know, and I guess maybe it sounds like I'm getting old, but over the period of my life, I've seen things that were not accepted in society become accepted in society and then filter into where they virtually become accepted in the church. You know, we're different. We don't have to follow the world's lead. We shouldn't, because we've got our citizenship is in heaven. We've got something better. Our conduct is affected by that. You know, Jesus said, he actually used the words in praying for us, that we are not of this world. We don't have the same mindset because we've been impacted, because we've been touched, because we've had an experience with Jesus. We don't no longer have a mindset of hostility to God. We're in the world, but we have a different nature. We have a new nature. And the key part of this verse is that we reflect that. Colossians 3 verses 1 to 3, it says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We've been set free. We've been set free from sin, not only from the penalty of sin, but from the bondage of sin. And so, you know, it can, as I said, it can sound like an order, a command. Don't do this. But it's, hey, you've been set free from this. The kingdom of heaven, God has all these things to offer you. Why would you want to muck around with these other things in the world? And the final thing that is, see, our citizenship in heaven talking about reminding us of is our real home. You know, we are here for a short time. And it is only a time. And knowing that, it helps us keep things in perspective. It helps prioritise. But it also helps us when things get a bit tough. I've been to the Philippines twice, just for a couple of weeks each time. And I've got to say that, you know, that I really enjoyed it. I loved it. Would love to go back at some stage. But I remember the first time I was there. And just the first few days, and actually I was really glad I was there with other people from Australia who'd been and knew what was going on. But just the culture shock. And, you know, it's kind of overwhelming. And I remember actually the first few nights, as I was lying in bed and saying, Lord, I just thank you for the grace to go through this. Thank you for the strength to do that. You know, just the culture shock. There's, I'm not a city person anyway, but, you know, like cities in Australia compared to cities in Asia, it's very different. Things like, you know, you've got to carry your water all the time because you can't drink the water. I know some people treat Naranja water like that anyway. But, like, there's all these things that are so different. But one of the things that really helped me, particularly at the start of that first trip, was knowing that it was only a short time. It was only here for 2 weeks. Now, Rachel's sitting there, and she's in China, and so China is her home at the moment, isn't it? So I'm not sure. She's probably thinking, I don't know how that applies to me. But for me, to be in a difficult, strange situation, a confronting one, part of the thing that helped me, particularly early on, was knowing that I'm only here for a short time. I'll get to go home in a couple of weeks. And when things get tough in this life, we're only here for a short time. We get to go home. I know it seems like a long time. It seems like a lifetime. It seems like a long time sometimes, but we get to go home. And what we see around us is going to pass. The difficulties we have. Whether it's just the things that, you know, life throws at us. Or whether it's active persecution because of our faith. But we have a real home. And that's what New Testament hope is about. But then it's also a reminder not to get too attached to the things of this world. So even the things that aren't wrong, you know, the beauty of creation, the beauty of the arts, the things that God has for us, you know, the beauty, the wonderful things that God has placed here that we get to enjoy while we're here. We can get too attached to them, and they can become the most important things. But they're only here for a short time. They'll pass away. You know, there's a new earth and a new heaven. I don't know exactly what's going to be in there, but it's not going to be exactly the same. It's going to be better. And so whether it's admiring creation, whether it's our jobs, whether it's things we enjoy like music, you know, things we enjoy like football, you know, so the Richmond supporters are coming out of the woodwork and out of their hibernation the last few months, I notice. But as someone who's used to success, let me tell you, it passes. And so even things like football and sport and music, whatever it is, it's only here for a short time. Our reality is in heaven. There's something else. There's that reminder, okay, we can do this, we're here, it's going to pass. But there's also a reminder about keeping our eyes on what's important. I just want to finish with Hebrews chapter 11. There's a lot of things we could read there, but just verses 8 to 10. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, Abraham had a promise. Actually, and he lived all that last part of his life in the land that he'd been promised, but he still only lived in tents. So it wasn't time to put down, to build houses there. But he was just passing through it. He was just living in that land, just like somebody who was a traveller passing through. But he had a promise from God, and he was able to do these things. He was able to live like this. He was able to do what God had called him to. See, because he knew that God had called him to something else, to something extra. You know, he'd been called out of a city. So presumably he had a home, and he had a secure place. But he came to just travel around, moving his tent around, And he was able to do it because God had a call on his life. God had something extra for him. And the same with us. We can persist. We can persevere. We can overcome difficulties. We can grow in faith. We can obey God. If we know who we belong to. If we know that help is available. And if we know it's only for a time that we're here and we each have an eternal home, which we soon get to be at. You know, our citizenship is in heaven. That's an encouragement to persevere, to persist, to not get caught up in everything we see around us. Because if we belong to God, then we've become citizens of another country. That's who we are. That's where we find our identity. That's also where we find our strength. And that's the encouragement this morning. So whatever it is that we feel that God's called us to, whether it's something we're called to lay aside, whether it's something we feel that, you know, we've been struggling with and we need to get rid of that. We've got strength to do that. And it's what God's called us to, and he will help us with that. If we're just struggling with life, you know, we have God on our side. But also we know that this is for a time, that God has something better for us. And so we don't get caught up in the world, in the world's ideas, the world's values, because we have something extra. And so we can stand out. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for calling us. Lord, we are not yours because of anything we have done, but simply because of your love, because you called us, because of what you have done. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to appreciate that, help us to appreciate all that means. Lord, that we would not get caught up, we would not devalue ourselves, but we would not get caught up in the selfishness or the pride or the sins of the world. But Lord, that we would find strength to live for you. Lord, I just thank every person here, Lord, that you have something for us. And Lord, I pray that like Abraham, we would find strength to do what we're called to do because, Lord, because we have that higher calling, there's something extra in our lives. And Lord, so I just want to give you praise now. And thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. Thank you for your help with helping us each and every day in Jesus' name. Amen.